Hello, friends, and welcome to Grits in the Gospel. My name is Katie Griffiths, Reverend Katie Griffiths. I forget the reverend sometimes still. I'm coming to you today on June 9th. It is the third Sunday after Pentecost. We are in a time of ordinary times, and we will be counting through these Sundays after Pentecost, and we're on the third one. It is a journey that I am so thankful to be on with all of you, and one that I hope that you will enjoy as well. Let us come together now in a time of worship. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Today's epistle lesson comes from the second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 4, verse 13, and then we'll go through the fifth chapter, the first verse. Hear now the words of Paul. But just as we have the same spirit of faith that is in accordance with Scripture, I believed and so I spoke, we also believe and so we speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus, and will bring us with you into his presence. Yes, everything is for your sake, so that grace, as it extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. Because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us now come together and recite the words that we say each week to remind us of what we believe. Friends, what do we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us come together now in a time of prayer. Dear Lord, we are so thankful that when hard times come, when it seems like the world is on fire, when it seems like there is nothing that can be done to heal the hurt that we feel, that you are the one that matters. You bring us peace. You help us do these hard things better in life. You are the one that we look up to. You are the one that we wait for. You are the one that we long to be in heaven with. Help us to remember to look up and not around. Hear us now as we pray the words that your Son taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Hear now the words of the Gospel of Mark. We are in the third chapter, the 20th through the 35th verses. Hear now the word of the Lord. And the crowd came together again so that they could not even eat. When his family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for people were saying, "He has gone out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said he was Beelzebub, and by the ruler of the demons he casts out demons. And he called them to him and spoke to them in parables. How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, the kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but his end has come. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first trying up the strong man. Then indeed, the house can be plundered. Truly, I tell you, people will be forgiven of their sins and whatever blasphemes they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they had said, "He has an unclean spirit." Then his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called to him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside asking for you." He replied, "Who are my brothers, my mother, and my brothers?" And looking at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. It's that time of year again, a time when ministers come back to their churches fired up and inspired after annual conferences. I was going to try and avoid that, this sentiment this year, but then I read the lectionary text. God, in many ways, has such a sense of humor. So I find myself looking back to the lessons of this past week and seeing the lectionary text with fresh eyes. One matters. It was the theme of the South Georgia Conference this past week. Bishop David Graves chose the Luke 15 text for the scripture this year, and we all worked to remember that one, every single one of the lost things in this world is worth going out and finding. The lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost brother are worth the effort and the time and the struggle it takes to bring them back to the fold. He gave us bracelets that have "One Matters" on them to wear, and you know I love a bracelet. But what is written on the other side of the bracelet? That's what I think really hits home today with this lectionary text. He suggests to us, and now I suggest to you, that we be the place that does hard things better. As we see in these verses in Mark, and even in our own congregation, life is hard. Illness and injuries happen, division happens, hurt happens. Family, even for Jesus, can happen. What is different, what should be different for us as believers, is how we handle adversity and hard things. We should be the model of doing hard better. Church attendance across every denomination is declining. People are longing for a place to go when life gets hard and they can't find it. We should be that place. We should be the place of Sabbath that people look to. Instead, we're looking around at each other and fussing and fighting instead of looking up to God for inspiration. People are seeing a place where they can find ways to do seeking a place where they can find ways to do their own hard life a little better. Just a little bit of solace and help in times of trouble. As a denomination and a church, we've been so busy looking at each other and worried about our buildings that we forgot to look out around outside of our buildings at our communities to see what needs we can fill. People are yearning for help. We need to show them how to do hard better. This church is almost 200 years old with ministry at its foundation. Do you think we got here today without going through hard times? Think about the things this church has seen. The Great Depression, world wars, recessions. We came through things and we are still here. But we have not done that by shying away from hard and new things. There was no backpack ministry or butt paste collecting 200 years ago. There was no internet 200 years ago. But what the members that came before us did was look up to God, and they laid a foundation that we can build on today. Hard looked very different in the days when the church was founded, but it was still hard. I would argue that it was a lot harder. There was no air conditioning. The world has always seemed like it was going to come crashing down around us. We have no idea what is coming next, and we can't worry about it. All we need to worry about is looking up, focusing on being the church family that we have been for so long, and to keep showing our community that we can do hard things better because we can do it together. The Methodist Church and now the United Methodist Church have been dealing with the splits and restructurings and renaming since it was founded. It's easy to look around instead of looking up and be discouraged. It's easy to show the world that the hard things in life and our own denomination have divided us, not just from ourselves, but from the world that desperately needs the love and help that we can give it. One of my favorite John Wesley quotes is this: though we cannot think alike, may we not love alike? May we not be of one heart, though we are not of one opinion? I believe we can. It may not be easy, but we can do the hard things better. We can show people, model for them, that loving one another can help you do hard better. I mean, look around. Most of y'all are Georgia or, heaven forbid, Alabama fans, and you love me even though I'm a devout Auburn fan. Little things are easy to overlook. Big things are harder, but we can do it. We can love everyone and work together if we look up and not around. Two things in this week's lectionary text really stood out to me. At the end of the Mark text, it seems that Jesus is denying his mother and his brothers and sisters, leaving them even for his ministry. But I like to think of it in a different way. I think he's helping us all reframe how we see family. Our church family deserves just as much love and attention as our blood relatives. But I think it is even more than that. We are all God's children. So I think the larger lesson is that everyone is our family. Whether we agree or not, whether we look alike or not, whether we live in a house or on the streets, we are all family, and we should take care of our community just like we take care of our own families. Bethlehem United Methodist Church for almost 200 years has done a wonderful job doing just that. We still do. We may not always get along. We may get frustrated with each other, just like any other family, but we still have come through the hard things together and serve our community well. My hope for this season is that we continue to look up to God together. We need to start thinking about more than the things that are happening with us in these pews and think about how what we are doing can affect generations to come. We can do wonderful things for our communities, but we can also ensure that for the next 200 years, we have laid a foundation of service and hope. What things are we missing that can help us do that? How can we show that we do the hard things well, so well, that we survived and thrived for almost 200 years? That may take looking around and seeing what our community needs, what those families that we long to have come back to Bethlehem really need to help them do their own kind of hard better. Where are we missing opportunities because we're looking up, looking around and not looking up? The second thing that really stood out to me in this week's lectionary text is the Corinthian scripture paired with the Mark text. Read on its own, it's beautiful, but if we think of the two together, it becomes even more powerful. That's part of the beauty of scripture. Starting in verse 16, remember it says this, "Listen with fresh ears, so we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. Because we look not at what can be seen, but what it cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary. What cannot be seen is eternal. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Friends, it may not seem like it, but these hard times we are in will pass. It is a slight moment in the bigger picture. It is temporary compared to the eternal glory that God has waiting for us. We do not have to lose heart. What a beautiful thought in the midst of struggle. The struggle we have, if we can just learn to do hard things better, will prepare us for glory beyond all measure. That's what I want to keep looking up to. That is what we need to be showing those around us. Glory beyond all measure is what gives people the hope they are looking for. Let's show them that. Let's model that kind of faith for the world. I think good old Johnny Wesley said it best. If we're looking up and not around, pointing fingers and pointing out flaws, we can live out his challenge to us as United Methodists. Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. 199 years is a long time to be doing good. A long time to be working through the hard times together. We have learned so much as a church and as a family that we can share with those who need help. As a family of believers, let's continue to work on doing the hard things better together for 199 more. Amen. As we go throughout our week, let us look for ways that we can help people who are living in hard times. We can show them the way to do hard things better. Because in life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.